She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 257, my money story and takeaways from a money mindset boot camp.
Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Bolin, your host, and it is time to do it your way.
Welcome to the show, you guys. Thank you, as always, so much for listening. Today's episode is sponsored by Podia, who was also a sponsor at the She Did It Her Way Summit. So if you guys were there, you got to interact with Podia. You got to interact with Len, who is an absolute hoot. It was a pleasure having them there. Podia is an all-in-one online storefront. So in addition to online courses, their platform also allows for you to manage your membership programs and online downloads. What I love about Podia and how I'm using it for She Did It Her Way is just I love the user interface. It's extremely intuitive and easy to navigate as a creator, and it actually inspires me to want to create more valuable content so that anyone who's interested in purchasing or downloading something, they can just go directly to my online storefront. I also love the fact that they keep the product simple and there's no hidden upcharges. So you create as many digital downloads, online memberships, or online courses for one flat fee a month, which is amazing. So if you head on over to podia.com/herway, it's podia.com/herway, you get 15% off and a 30-day free trial to try it out. Hi, thank you again so much for tuning in. Today, I wanted to do a solo cast on my experience of going through a money mindset boot camp with Molly Sapp, and in which she is coming on the show next Monday. So that's very exciting. You guys are going to be able to learn more about her journey, and she's going to share some more in-depth things with us as well. And in this solo cast, I want to be completely honest and frank. And when I first heard of the Money Mindset Bootcamp through a friend, I was a little turned off, which later through the bootcamp turned out to be a belief that stemmed from earlier days of my childhood. But I kept an open mind as much as possible because this friend is someone whom I respect and I value her opinion. So if she was saying great things and she shared some of the direct results that she got from the boot camp, then I knew it was worth keeping an open mind. And again, this solo cast is one that is very personal, quite possibly could be one of the most vulnerable ones to date, because while I'm talking about money, and most people, I don't like, sometimes I feel in our society money is definitely a taboo thing. And so I want to bring some things to light and share experiences in hopes that maybe if they resonate with you, they can be of helpful, or even if this just piques your own interest about wanting to learn more about your own money story. So again, I want to share it with you in a way that is encouraging for wherever you may be when it comes to your relationship with money. And again, like, my experience hopefully creates an environment comfortable enough for you to say, oh my gosh, me too, or oh my, I relate to that, or I can completely understand, and maybe not, who knows. And I've thought often doing an episode about this topic, but always got stuck because of fear of being, of like misrepresenting any family members, or misrepresenting myself, or shaping the experience anything but part of my journey in positive light for growth. One of my biggest takeaways that I've learned in life is that we have to believe and trust every human on this planet is doing the best that they can in every single moment. And that applies almost in every part of life. Growing up and as I got older, I don't think I had like the worst relationship with money, but I definitely knew as I started seeking out just self-help, even more growth and learning about energy exchange and how our thoughts play into, you know, the environment that we create around us, I really started asking myself, like, you know, it's not terrible, but could it be better? And that is what continued me on this journey that ultimately led me to the Money Mindset Bootcamp as well. And so when I was younger, I grew up in Dubuque, Iowa. It was a town of 60,000 people. The town itself is still pretty blue-collared, and it was known, like, early on in the days that for meat packing facilities. It's not an entirely like super educated town. It sits right on the Mississippi River, which makes it a great town for steel and labor intensive jobs. And so growing up and during my childhood, I conditioned myself through my environment to believe that money was the root of evil, that there would never be enough of it. The only way to make this world work, to make it in this world, is to work hard. And I created a subconscious belief that people with money were evil, in which I later learned was a massive money block, which you can't criticize what you ultimately want to bring into your environment. So if you find yourself mentally judging, mentally criticizing people for things that you ultimately want, energetically, it's not going to come into your experience or environment. So keep, we'll keep that on the back burner for later. But back to the early childhood experience, early on when I was growing up, I also did associate money with freedom, freedom from pain, argument, freedom to do as I pleased. My siblings and I learned at an early age that we basically, as long as we could figure out how to pay for something, we could do what just about anything. Well, okay, not anything we wanted to, but we developed a sense of independency and a sense of freedom that associated with money. I also developed a spending habit early on. Like my brother was an extreme saver. I was a spender. When I made money, I like needed to spend it and I didn't keep it for long. And I don't know if part of that, well, part of that also might have come from the, like, anytime when I did work, I only worked enough just to get by to pay for gas and like car insurance and school activities, because I was so involved with school, it left very little time to work. So it was kind of this, you know, break even point. And I just constantly lived in this state of never having enough. And then you move away from high school and you're kind of in this bubble where everybody is basically very similar to you. You go to school and there's no true like large outliers. Then when it came to college, that was the really big step. You step out of your bubble. And this part, like, you guys, is somewhat kind of embarrassing and I feel really gross saying it, but for the podcast and to be true and sharing it is, you know, I remember throughout college, I remember feeling sorry for myself because, oh, I had to take out student loans to pay rent, tuition, books, food, like, gosh, and I was saying it and even typing out the show notes. I'm like, gosh, I was so dramatic. Work while I go to school full time. I couldn't afford to buy new clothes. I showed up to a lecture and a girl in front of me would be wearing, like, I don't know, Tory Burch shoes and a Louis Vuitton bag. And in my mind, I'd be judging her. And then it goes back to also, like I shared before, it was judging people who had wealth and abundance, but then also potentially associating that rich people are evil people, which again is not true. And these are some money blocks that I'm going to talk about and recap at the end. But back to being in college is, you know, I was always insecure going to a frat party because I was wearing a borrowed dress and a pair of shoes that didn't even go with the outfit, while other like sorority gals or other women showed up in these like smashing dresses, hair done and makeup applied on point. And I became really insecure about that part of my life. And like I said, I kind of played the victim, which I'll talk about more later, is not a choice that served me. And it did not, it really put a ceiling on my growth from financial perspective as well. And I always prided myself. I created this mental cycle of like priding myself on the fact that, okay, I quote unquote did it on my own. And it created an ego monster. And again, it was this closed loop that I kept thinking like, oh, I did it on my own. I did it on my own. And I think sometimes for me, and you guys can, you can take this if it applies to you, is that block or that loop actually blocked abundance from coming in from other areas of my life. And it became, even in my relationship now with a partner and a husband and, you know, money. I mean, this was in the beginning when we first started dating, Mike and I, you know, you get really intimate with someone from like just an emotional standpoint, but also financial standpoint, it becomes a little bit of a wake up call. But then also like carrying this resistance and blocking out, just not being able to receive through other people. And okay, so college, let's go on to graduation. I just wanted to share that little bit about blocking abundance from coming in, because that's another key takeaway with what I'll talk about more too. But so after graduation, I accepted a job at Target at one of their stores in West Des Moines, Iowa. My starting salary was very well for a single person living in Iowa. And it was the first time in my life that I felt truly independent, because here I was, like, I always felt independent throughout my life, but this was the time when I moved, I had my own apartment, I was actually able to pay bills, and just not focus on, you know, taking out debt from school and then just getting education. But now I could actually like get into the working world. Plus school was great, but man, I love being out in the real world where you get like immediate, like you just get to tinker with everything. So anyway, I remember with my student loan payments in the beginning, I was so emotional about them, which I also learned later that the energy we have when it comes to like making payments, whether it's on debt or student loan, whatever it might be, can change the flow of it. And again, at times, like I found that resentment attitude come in and I felt chained to that debt. So I worked in corporate for a few years and then I made the leap to independent contract work. So this was another influx of like money stories. This time I had tripled my income and I made six figures for the first time at the age of 24. And you pair that with newfound freedom with my previous history of feeling like I never had enough money in my entire life, not such great savings habits, and you get this beautiful and wonderful life learning moment that doesn't come to fruition until a few years later, while still in the independent contract phase as well. So you can imagine being young, you don't have any like strong commitments, you don't own a house, nothing, like no big, massive like payments each month that you got to make. So think of like living it up. I went on all these amazing vacations. I sailed the British Virgin Islands. I went to Europe multiple times. I mean, it was just like, it was crazy. It was this almost, now looking back, it was like a disrespect to money because I also wasn't very good with how I was running the financial and budgeting piece in my life. And a couple years into it, it was this really big wake-up call about, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And over then from there, the next 2, 3, 4 years, it was really just this, you know, trying to maintain and be really budget mindset. But then the budget mindset converted into the scarcity mindset where I was trying to like omit any sort of additional expenses. And it just became this like mind warp. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, this has officially hit a place where like, I am just maintaining and surviving. I'm not thriving. Like, I need to figure something else out. So there are 5 key things that I took away from the boot camp that I was telling you guys about. I mean, the first one that was really impactful was, you know, understanding the impact of your upbringing and how it may be impacting you today, even from a subconscious standpoint. So things that you maybe aren't necessarily at the top of your mind that you can think of right away, but if you sit in meditation long enough, they come up to you and it reminds you of those feelings and that experience. And so now that you've brought that experience up, you can work through it to let go. The second one is, you know, keep a journal of all the things that you're grateful for. And I'm talking even the little things that come up from a day-to-day standpoint, like thankful for having internet to be able to run my business, thankful for the air conditioning on today so I can be comfortable to work. And then also write down and keep a little journal of the things that you receive, whether they're monetarily or maybe they're a gift, but getting in the habit of being grateful for the act of receiving, which leads me into the third piece is recognize what is your ability to receive. And I'm not talking just about money, but I'm talking about gifts. I'm talking about compliments. I'm talking about people doing acts of service for you, doing kind things. Are you able to accept help? Can you receive help? Can you be able to accept gifts and compliments? I know one of the things that I'd always struggle with is that when people would give me a compliment, I always felt as if I had to justify and say where I got it and tell them that I got it for like 50% off. There's no reason for that. I need to do that. And I didn't realize that I was doing that until someone brought it up to me. So just being mindful of your ability to receive, even ability to receive, especially in a relationship with your spouse when he or she does something for you as well, being able to receive that. And then the fourth thing is getting in vibrational alignment with how you want to feel. Maybe you're in a situation that isn't the most ideal and it's not your favorite situation, but always take yourself to how you want to feel and what you're after and what you ultimately want. Because if you stay in any sort of victim energy, you're just going to keep attracting that into you. And it's not going, you're going to be blocking the actual like abundance to flow in if you stay in that type of like victim energy moment or feeling sorry for yourself. And then the last piece is just sharing some potential money blocks. Some of the money blocks that came up in that other people like shared in our group and that I've heard some of my friends talk about is that one of them has a money block because they're afraid that they might make more than their parents. And they fear, well, this is actually pretty popular when I hear people talk about it on podcasts too, is that, you know, it's a subconscious fear that if I make more than my parents, they won't love me anymore. And I remember listening on one podcast episode, the gentleman actually had to go and tell his dad to say like, "Dad, will you still love me if I make more than you?" And they had to have that conversation out. And he had to like get his approval or get the dad to like hear his dad say that I'm still going to love you regardless of, you know, your income. Another money block might be is, you know, if you come from an affluent background and you have any sort of block around, you don't want people to either view you as entitled or you might have blocks around like, okay, well, if I have an affluent background, like who am I to have even a money issue? Like, shouldn't I be fine? So that's just another example. And then another one is the receiving piece. So a block around being able to receive. And in this case, again, not money, but ability to receive love and ability to love yourself as well. So I hope that this episode, the solo cast, was helpful to you guys. I would love for you to, you know, share it or tag She Did It Her Way, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram. I kind of hang out on Instagram, but if you want to like screenshot this one, tag me. I would love to like see who's listening and love to see like if it was helpful, if it was not. I mean, just get your feedback on it as well. So because that helps me to know exactly what type of content to serve out to you guys and if it's helpful. So I hope you guys have an amazing day and enjoy Molly Sapp's interview coming up next Monday.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.